is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The headline in the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal is stark. Pandora's Donald Trump prosecution. I welcome Conrad Black, a distinguished historian of American and Canadian affairs. The book I highly recommend, Flight of the Eagle, The Grand Strategies That Brought America from Colonial Dependence to World Leadership. And I call on Conrad, Lord Black, to comment on my understanding. There is no precedent for what we're witnessing. The indictment by a prosecutor, in this case a city prosecutor, of a former president of the United States who's conducting a campaign for re-election. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Is there any precedent, or have we moved into what is generally understood as uncharted territory? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. You're absolutely right. There is no precedent for this. I've said in a couple of things I've written in the last 2 weeks that the two traditional guardrails, the ultimate guardrails of the American system, are the courts will not overturn the apparent result of a presidential election. We saw that in 2020. We saw it in 2000 with Bush and Gore. And it hasn't really been tested at other times that questionable elections were resolved in other ways. But the courts won't touch it. And in 2020, the courts at every level declined to take on the constitutional cases. They declined to hear them for procedural reasons and did not adjudicate the merits at all. And the problem legally was that these voting and vote counting rules changes supposedly to encourage a bigger vote despite the pandemic were in the number of swing states not approved by the state legislatures as the Constitution requires. They were either by executive order or by state court decision. And there is a constitutional issue. Now, the other guardrail is they don't and never have, as you said, indicted an ex-president. It was much expected in Mr. Nixon's case, and I think we can now say that if Mr. Nixon had gone ahead, had not had a pardon, had been indicted, and was able to get a fair trial, I don't think there is evidence that he himself committed a crime. But whether he could have got a fair trial is another issue. But in any case, President Ford gave him a pardon. It was much criticized at the time, hurt the Republicans in the midterm elections, hurt President Ford when he ran for re-election against future President Carter, but subsequently has been generally approved as a courageous thing by President Ford and the right thing to do. The Kennedy Center has a prize based on John F. Kennedy's book, Profiles in Courage Prize, and they gave it to Gerald Ford about 10 years ago, and for something that, as Senator Edward Kennedy said, he himself had disapproved of at the time. And so those are your guardrails. And once a president is an ex-president, they're never indicted. And I assume the underlying reason is, even if they may run again, going back and trying to criminalize what they did while they were president, when they're no longer president, is just unnecessarily controversial and bad for the country. And here, as you say, we have not a massive prosecution by a senior figure in the prosecution service. This is an elected local district attorney, albeit the most powerful and wealthiest district in the country, in Manhattan. But in something where the federal prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, declined to do it, even though he was anti-Trump also. The Federal Elections Commission declined to touch it. The underlying alleged offense is a misdemeanor, and the Limitations Act has made it statute barred to bring it. So they retrieve it by attaching it to another offense and claiming that the money paid to this entertainer, nightclub entertainer, and it was really an election contribution, which is a very tenuous idea. And the only basis of the evidence that they have is from someone who is, after all, a disbarred and convicted perjurer. And, to attack such a prominent person who is today the leading candidate to be reelected to the office that he was questionably evicted from, as you say, you have a very junior official in a highly politicized case that is extremely tenuous legally. Even Trump's enemies were warning this man not to do it. And people like Peggy Noonan saying, don't touch it. And all kinds of legal experts, Jonathan Turley and others, saying, don't do it. It's nonsense legally. You have to see it as a rather desperate political gambit. Now, you haven't specifically asked me this, but the best I can do, you often do ask me to impute motives to people. I'm generally reluctant to do it, but I'm doing it voluntarily here. I think the Democrats have this idea that the only Republican candidate of the prominent alternatives that they're really confident they can defeat is former President Trump, and therefore they're doing this knowing it's likely to unite the Republican Party behind him. But I think all of it is wrong. I mean, it is bad law, and it's also bad politics. And I don't think this administration could beat any of the leading Republicans. I think the Republicans will win. I mean, unless there is the most miraculous political comeback since Lazarus, this administration is not going to be reelected. They've done so badly in so many areas. I think it's a desperation shot.
A detail, Conrad.
Yes.
As the Wall Street Journal writes, the danger for America is the precedent. In other words, history will look at this as a reason to impose what is generally understood as victor's justice.
Yes, it's look, I was one of those, I'm revealing my venerable age here, but I was a newspaper publisher in Canada in the early 70s, and I wrote that it would be dangerous if Mr. Nixon was hounded from office over this Watergate business, because it was essentially the criminalization of policy differences. Attack him politically and attack the Republicans politically, make them pay for it. But, and if individuals, I'm obviously somebody made an unauthorized break-in at the Democratic headquarters, and then you punish the wrongdoers. But trying to hang this on Nixon and going after him hammer and tongs, claiming he was morally and ethically and legally unfit to hold the office he had just won by what is still the greatest plurality in the history of the country, even though the electorate is twice as big now, is just reducing what should be political combat within the election and campaign rules to the misuse of the power to indict. And that's what we've come to. We've come to a terrible abuse of the power to indict. And as you say, if this is not such a complete failure that it discourages anyone in the position of the district attorney in Southern District of New York from proceeding like this again, if it is not that kind of a disaster for the prosecutor, we're throwing open the gates to every prosecutor in the country. A local prosecutor in New Mexico is saying, in my opinion, the immediate past president of the United States committed a grievous crime doing such and so. So we're indicting him. I mean, you saw this basically in Europe with the Spanish prosecutor demanding the detention and trial of the former president of Chile. Now, Augusto Pinochet, who was admittedly a controversial man, but the charge involved was nonsense. A Spanish prosecutor had no business having him detained when he was on an official visit by invitation of the government of the United Kingdom to Great Britain. And it sounds like I'm getting far away from it, but it's the same sort of thing. If any prosecutor can indict anybody for anything, where is this going to end?
Conrad Black.
Everybody will be under indictment.
Conrad Black asking a hard question I have no answers to. I'm John Madden.